Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Rindaki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kundagiri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Jumuna Devi Ki Jai Ganga Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Rindaki Jai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paschatyade Shatarane Trinadapi Sinichena Tarat Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harenama 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 Ivakivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata.
You sure you don't want to sit in the chair? Okay.
Okay, so we are continuing with the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're in the final chapter of the book, Antyalila, chapter 20, the Shashtaka prayers. So, Kakaniji, this is your first class since... Have you been here before during this chapter? I'll bring you up to speed. Okay, we're on text number 20 of chapter 20. So, since Kakanaji has not been here when we started, this is our third class on this chapter. The Shikshastakam prayers are the only thing that Lord Chaitanya wrote. Although we do have the Jagannath Ashtakam, which he spoke or sang, that song Jagannath Ashtakam that we sing every, well, in L.A. they do Rath Yatra. So that is said to have, Lord Chaitanya spoke that. Yes, we can do that. No problem. But you have to chant japa. One more. Is that better? All right, very good. So the only thing that Lord Chaitanya wrote was these eight Shikshastakam prayers. In the final 12, 18 years of his life, Lord Chaitanya did not travel. When he first took sannyas, he traveled extensively throughout South India, then went to Vrindavan. And, of course, Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years, 24 years as a householder, and 24 years as a sannyasi in the renounced order of life. So the first 6 years of sannyas, he was traveling throughout South India. He went to Vrindavan. Then the final 18 years, he stayed in Jagannath Puri. He had his own room known as the Gambhir. And when you go to Jagannath Puri, you can go to that room. Even I was allowed, although I was not allowed in the Jagannath temple, nor was I allowed in the Gunjicha temple. I was allowed in the Gambhir. And you'll see where Lord Chaitanya used to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in his room. Very, 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 very spiritual place to be, the Gambhir. That's in Jagannath Puri. So in the remaining years, he would recite these eight verses, and he would explain them, and his two assistants were Ramananda Roy, which we studied last year. We studied Ramananda Roy. And his other chief assistant was Sarup Damodar. And who are they? Lalita Vishaka. Ramananda Roy is the Gopi Vishaka, and Sarup Damodar is the Gopi Lalita, which makes sense. They are the two assistance of Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radha, or the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Both means the same. So we already studied the first of the Shikshastakam prayers, which encapsulizes Parang Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. I explained at that time that in that first Shikshastakam prayer, there are seven tongues, seven items, seven benefits of doing Sankirtan. There are two kinds of Sankirtan. Japa is also Sankirtan. That's why we do it out loud, to benefit others, such as bugs. We benefit all living entities by chanting out loud. So even when you're alone, you chant out loud, because there are so many living entities, they need to get delivered. So be merciful. So we studied the seven benefits of chanting. So now we'll pick up. Are you ready to continue? Yes. Text number 20. Once I get my computer online. Okay. Okay, and we also studied the second verse, where that was last month's class. This is the third. Last month, we studied that there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. Day, night, clean, unclean, man, woman, young, old, black, white, green, red, don't matter. Everyone can chant. Anyone can chant. No restrictions, right? Because some people ask, oh, do I have to take my bath first? No. Chanting purifies you. That doesn't mean you should become a hippie and not bathe. But don't use that as an excuse that, oh, I can't chant because I'm not taking my bath. No, chant. Okay? Chant. Even Prabhupada would get up early in the morning. He wouldn't take his bath. Prabhupada would get up 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. He wouldn't take his bath. He would chant. Then later in the morning, he would take his bath. So there's evidence right there. I'm just saying, there's no hard and fast rule. You chant anytime, any place, anywhere. Sitting, lying, running, jumping, whatever. Chant. Then we were warned that there's only one thing that prevents us from chanting. We mentioned it last night. Offenses. Last night we talked about Vaishnava Aparad and Guru Aparad. But there's also Nam Aparad. 10 offenses for chanting. So Lord Chaitanya pointed out that if I'm committing 1, 2, up to 10 kinds of offenses, then I won't have attachment for chanting. It'll become a chore. It'll become drudge. Oh, Guru Maharaj said I had to chant 16 rounds. What a drag. Yeah. That's because I've committed offenses. But when you're free from offenses, then you get a taste. Oh, Jai, it's time to chant. Just like this morning, Krishna woke me up very early. 2 o'clock, Krishna woke me up. Said, let's go. Start chanting, bozo. So, it was time to chant. Like that. So, if you're free from offenses, so the next question is, how to become free from offenses? And the answer is, chant the names of the Panchatattva. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar. And then, don't commit offenses. Besides, so therefore you should know what are the 10 offenses. We can have a separate class on that afterwards. Not today, but we'll have a special class on the 10 offenses. All right, so now we're going to begin the third verse. So text number 20. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy, hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna. I love this opening statement. So, what are the key words? Symptoms of how. In other words, there's a method. Last night I was explaining, and one lady asked me afterwards, what do you mean science? She didn't understand when I said, bhakti is a science. So I explained to her, science means there is procedure. If you follow the procedure, you'll get the result. So I said, you have your spiritual master, you have the books, and then you have other devotees, past and present, who are also giving you example. So you obey your spiritual master, you follow what is in the book, such as Bhagavad Gita, and you see how other devotees are doing, then it becomes scientific. Prabhupada chastised me when he said, have you not seen the others? In other words, I had made a mistake, and Prabhupada was thinking, well, blockhead, you should have seen how the others are doing. That means you're not paying attention. One time, Prabhupada went to the UN building in New York, and he went with his big leaders at that time, the temple president, his secretary, maybe one other big leader. So they went to the UN. So when they came out, Prabhupada asked them, so who's this, who's this, who's this? And the devotee said, we don't know. Prabhupada said, that means you weren't looking. That they went to the UN, Prabhupada was noticing who's the General Assembly, who's the leader of this. Prabhupada was chastising them. Don't be stupid. Pick up something, learn something. Keep your eyes and your ears open. Be attentive. All right. So the symptoms of how one should chant. That's the first thing. And then to awaken very easily. In other words, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Susukam kartum avyam. That word susukam can be translated as easy or happily, either way. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, yes, you can easily, and then dormant. That's another big word. Love of Krishna is dormant. It's not only for Hindus. It's for everyone has dormant love. If you're a soul, you have dormant love for Krishna. That's how we can go out and preach. It's not a question of, oh, I will only preach to the Indians. No. Prabhupada didn't do that. He came to the Malecha Yavanas, United States of America. And who was his first disciples? Not the Indians. They were all white guys, like me, hippies. Right? Why? Prabhupada knew. Doesn't matter the skin color, the body. Everyone has dormant love of Krishna in them. So you can preach to anyone. Anyone. Keep that in mind. Krishna, love of Krishna is dormant in everyone. As I said, if you're a soul, you have dormant love of Krishna in you. And it's dormant. That's the thing. It's dormant. So just like, here is this agarbati dupe, right? Because it has the dormant ability to burn, all I got to do is put the flame on there. Look what happens. Look, it became fire. Because the ability to burn is dormant in that dupe. Yes? Right. So there's your love of Krishna. Dormant. See, everyone see. Oh, they went out. That means I committed an offense. But by the process, the scientific process, that dormant love of Godhead is awakened. So now Lord Chaitanya is going to point out how. Here it is, the big verse. Everyone should know this verse. Everyone should memorize this verse. If you're my student and you don't know this verse, fail. You fail as my student. Every student of mine must know this verse. Repeat. Trinadapi suniche na bolo. Taror iva sahishnuna. Amanina manadena. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So sometimes people question, why so much emphasis on this chanting? Why don't we just read Bhagavad Gita, huh? Here's the line. Kirtaniya Sada. So it's not optional. And as I've said before, we're not the Bhagavad Gita movement. We are the Hare Krishna movement. Yes, we study Bhagavad Gita, don't get me wrong. But some people want to preach to me that none of this chanting, just Bhagavad Gita. Well, I'm sorry, even the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? Satatam kirtayanto mam. Even Krishna says we should always be chanting. But Lord Chaitanya makes it very simple. Kirtaniya. So, in response to that critic, when we chant Bhagavad Gita, yes, that's also kirtan. But my point is, Lord Chaitanya didn't have his people chant, all right, every day chant 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. What did Lord Chaitanya give them? Chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When Prabhupada gave initiations, when I got initiated, I was not told every day you will chant 18 chapters of... No. You were told you will chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. On the magazine, Back to Godhead, what does it say? The magazine of the Hare Krishna movement. Not the magazine of the Bhagavad Gita movement. Just to set things straight. Just so that everyone's clear of what our movement is. Okay? So here is Lord Chaitanya's line. Kirtaniya Sada. Sada means always. Always means? Yes, very good. Very good, Batuk. You get a ding. All right, let's go over the word for words because everyone should know this verse. Please repeat. Trinat api. Then downtrodden grass. All right, you've all seen soccer games, right? Or do they, when they play cricket, is there grass on the cricket field? Yeah, soccer, you know what happens. In America, they have that football, right? After the game, they've got to do a whole job because the grass has been pounded. So, next word, sunichena, being lower. Wow, we have to be lower than the down, that's pretty low, isn't it? Can you get any more lower? I guess you'd have to be in the dirt. Lower than downtrodden grass. Next, a taro, then a tree. Iva, like, sahishnuna, with tolerance. So we have to be tolerant like the tree. There is a section in the Adi Lila where the example of the tree, Lord Chaitanya explains how the tree is tolerant. And even in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna speaks to the cowherd boys about tree meditation. How the trees are very noble, they give shade, they give you shelter. You can actually, like the six Goswamis, would sleep underneath the tree at night, right? You get fruits from the tree, you get flowers from the tree. The tree is so wonderful, isn't it? It just gives and gives and tolerates. When it's a hot day, what do? Go inside, turn on that AC. Right? Or in India, what do? That fan is running all day and all night. It's so hot in Delhi. Am I right? I remember when I got off the plane in 1975 in June. They opened the Air India door. Woo! I would say, I'm in India, folks. Wow. Right? It's so hot. So, and, you know, you don't get, unless you're wealthy, you don't have air conditioning. All you have is the fan, if you're lucky, right? Some places don't even have the fan, right? And where do you sleep in India at night? Where do you go? I did that also in Vrindavan. We would go to the roof of the Krishna Balaram temple and sleep, and you'd look up all the stars. That's so great about Vrindavan. You see, wow, I didn't know there were that many stars. You don't see that many stars, right? So you have to be tolerant like a tree. Next word, amanina. Without being puffed up by false pride. So false pride seems to indicate that there is true pride. And I will explain. True pride is, I am Krishna's servant. That's true pride. That I have the wealthiest, like, what's his name was giving class just before. He was saying that Krishna is all wealthy, right? He was talking about the opulences of Krishna. Yes, he was talking like that? All right. So, are we not Krishna's children? Right? So we have the wealthiest father, the most famous father, the strongest father, the most renounced father, the smartest father. Why you should not be proud? Right? I remember many years ago there was this thing going around. Be Hindu, be proud. Remember that? That was going around. So that's okay. I'd much rather say, be Vaishnava, be proud. That I have the greatest father. His name is? Krishna. So that's true pride. That, hey, and also, when you become a devotee, you become part of Achyuta Gotra. Right? All of you, like you're Bharadwaj Gotra, right? Didn't you tell? What's your Gotra? Huh? Durvasa. Yeah, somebody else was telling me once that they come from a certain Gotra. What's your Gotra? Bharadwaj? Oh, so you were the one. Okay. So you all, India, you all have your Gotras. But when you become a devotee, you become elevated to, and who's Achyuta? Krishna. So when you become a devotee, you become part of Krishna's family. So, right? Like, just like, you know, in America, I come from the Bush family. Right? There's like, oh, maybe, you know, you're the, you know, the Ford. Like, one Ford grandson is a devotee. So he comes from a very prestigious family. But he gave that up, what? To become part of Achyuta Gotra. So that's true pride. False pride is, I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm American. We rule the earth. Right? We do preemptive strikes on anybody for their oil. So that's false pride. I'm engineer. I am doctor. I am a psychiatrist. I am priest. I am guru. That's also false pride. I'm guru. I'm handsome. I'm this, I'm that. That these are all false. Okay, so that's false pride. Next word, manadena. Giving respect to all. And this is hard. This one's hard. Giving respect to all. Yeah, even to your enemy. Not so easy, right? Not so easy. But giving respect to all. Kirtaniya, to be chanted. Sada, always. Hari, the holy name of the Lord. And we learned in the previous verse, how many names? Unlimited, thank you. Unlimited, what's that name? What name of Krishna means he's unlimited? Nobody knows, I must have said it a billion times. Ananta, you said that? Come to the head of the class. Very good, my son, very good, excellent. Ananta, very, very good. Okay, please repeat. One who thinks himself. Now, if it says himself, that also means herself. All right? Him, her, don't. That, no, because I know there are devotees. I know one devotee. She says, all of Prabhupada's books have to be rewritten so it says him and her. You know what she's coming from. She's a feminist, you know. She said it in class once in L.A. I know her. She's a friend of mine. But she made that. Yes, we got to rewrite all of Prabhupada's book to make them gender, you know, compliant. Stop your nonsense. One who thinks himself lower than the grass. Repeat.
One who thinks himself lower than the grass.
Who is more tolerant than a tree. And who does not expect personal honor. But is always prepared to give all respect to others. Can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. So just quickly, Rambai, our good friend Rambai, always asks me about this, okay? Because his question will be, well, how can I work in the workplace when I don't expect personal honor? And he'll ask questions like this. So I explained to him that, yes, just like I'll take my good friend Krishna Kumar. He has two daughters. So when instructing his daughters, he can't be, oh, my dear daughters, please. Or like you, Tanya, you have those two boys. You're not going to go to your boys, please behave. I beg at your load. No, how are you going to be? Hey, stop your nonsense, right? Because you have to do that for their benefit. So internally, you're meek and humble, but externally, you play the role as the mean cop. That if you don't do it, like my daughter, you should see my daughter with my grandson. As I've said many times, I never want to be my daughter's son in a future life. She is so heavy with that. That guy can't go one inch. Hey, do your homework. Now do go swimming. Now do this. Clean your room. Enough this. It's like, whoa. After a half an hour, I tell my wife, we got to get out of here. She's like a drill sergeant. But... And I've told her, I said, you're an excellent mother. Because when you have boys, if you're not on their case, that's right, they're going to destroy the whole house. So in your job, you may have to act. Like there's the story of a Narada and a snake. It's in the Bhagavatam. The snake became a disciple of Narada. So Narada told him something like this, you got to be nonviolent. So after some time, the snake said, hey, they're picking on me. All the other animals know now that I'm a devotee, so now they're all picking on me. What do I do? So Narada said, don't be afraid to show your hoods. In other words, Narada was telling him, you should show that you're angry so that they'll respect you. Didn't Yashoda have a stick in her hand to chastise Krishna? That doesn't mean Yashoda's puffed up, but as mother, she has to act that way, okay? Prabhupada himself sometimes had to chastise his disciples. He chastised me. I've seen him chastise disciples. Does that mean that Prabhupada is not always meek and humble? No. He's in that position. You have to act that way. Krishna Kumar, in his business, if people aren't paying him after he does the job, he can't call and say, oh, Prabhuji, could you please pay me? It's been 2 years. No, Krishna Kumar said, hey, pay me my money now, you rascal. Someday you will get like that. Yes. So you may have to behave in a certain way, but internally, all right, this is how you think. Even Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda think like that. Like Uddhava was telling him, your son is God. And Nanda Maharaj says, hey, look, Krishna may be whatever you say, but he's my son. I have to bring him up properly. That's all I know. You follow? Yes. Okay. So now Lord Chaitanya is going to explain. This is what's so great about this chapter. You get the purport by Lord Chaitanya. This is why I love this. You get the direct purport from Lord Chaitanya. Everything is clear. All right, next verse. These are the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although he or she is very exalted, he or she, I'm doing it. Thinks him or herself lower than the grass on the ground, and like a tree, tolerates everything in two ways. All right? So that's the key. You think of yourself. All right? That's the key. How you act, that's according to time, place, and circumstance. But you think of yourself. There's a difference. There's a difference. It all comes from how you see or how you think of yourself. Now let's go on. When a tree is cut down, it does not protest. And even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. The tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever else it possesses to anyone and everyone. It tolerates scorching heat and torrents of rain, yet it still gives shelter to others. Just like a family, husbands and wives, you do this. You work hard to maintain your family. You work hard to put your children through school. Sometimes you feel like you're not being appreciated. That happens sometimes, that you're working so hard for the children, and sometimes you feel like, what am I doing all this for? They don't even appreciate it. They take everything for granted. Don't you feel like some, maybe, maybe not. But sometimes that happens. You're working so hard, so much anxiety, right? And then the day comes and you realize, I'm doing this for these people, right? But what is Lord Chaitanya advising us? No, no, tolerate, tolerate. Still, you give shelter. Prabhupada was the same way. One time, his disciple, they had the Hawaii temple, not the one they had now, but the previous Hawaii temple, the disciple sold it. Okay, he sold the temple. Still, Prabhupada was willing to take him back and said, all you have to do is somehow or other bring the money back and open the temple. But he was willing, and there was a sannyasi. Prabhupada gave him sannyas. After a few years, he mailed back his danda to Prabhupada saying, I'm no longer sannyasi. Then after a few years, that disciple came crawling back to Prabhupada asking him, please forgive me and accept me. Prabhupada was willing to accept him. You understand? Even in your lives, maybe it won't happen, but it could happen that you have a child and the child does so many abominable things, right? But if that child one day says, please forgive me, won't you take that child back, right? Even in the Bible, they have that, the story of the prodigal son. It's in the Bible, how a rich man had several sons, and one son became such a rascal. But then he came back, and when he came back, the father immediately accepted him and gave him so many blessings. And the other sons who were good were like, hey, what are you doing? So it was showing that they were jealous and envious. But the father was willing to take back that one son. He was so happy. And Krishna's the same way with us, right? We're all prodigal children. We have left Krishna. Now we're trying to get back. So it's not that when we go back to Godhead, everybody else is going to say, hey, what about, hey, come on, man. What are you doing? You letting this guy in? No, not in the spiritual world. There's no envy. There's no envy in the spiritual world. When we return, everyone's going to say, Kakani, welcome back. Haribo, we've been missing you. Haribo. It'll be just like that. You'll be welcomed with open arms. Don't worry. No one's going to say, oh, man, he fell. I ain't associating with him. I never fell. But he, Now that's material. Okay? All right, let's go on. Text number 25. Although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless and he gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. This sentence is so important. Same thing Lord Shiva told Parvati. Actually, it was Sati. During the Daksha Yajna, right? When Daksha blasphemed Shiva, and then there was a discussion between Lord Shiva and Sati. And what did Lord Shiva say? I don't pay obeisances to the person who identifies with their body. I pay obeisances to Vasudev inside that person's body. You see the difference? People misunderstand. Like I know in some religions they have this thing. I bow down to no man. They have that in some other religions. You know what I'm talking about, Tanya? Yes. There are some religions. I bow down to no man. So they see us and they say, hey, you guys are bowing down to everything. Stone people. You guys are bowing down at the drop of a hat. Not understanding, when I bow down, I'm not bowing down to you. I'm bowing down to Krishna, who lives within you. Same thing Lord Chaitanya is saying. He gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. Where is Krishna resting? In the heart. All right, so when we offer respects, no offense, I'm not bowing down to you. I'm bowing down to Krishna, who lives inside you. Do you understand? You see the point here? Okay? That's why Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. He knows exactly what Lord Chaitanya is saying here. So therefore, let me offer my respects. Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhyascha patitanang vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Yes. Just same thing. Yudhishthir told Vidura after the battle of Kurukshetra. Vidura had finished touring, and so he wound up at Yudhishthir's palace. Who was staying there? His brother, Dhritarashtra. Very interesting. Dhritarashtra, all his life, what was he trying to do with Yudhishthir and the Pandavas? Kill them. Right? After the battle, where does Dhritarashtra stay? In the house of Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir is an example of Trinadapi Sunichena. The very person who tried to kill him, yes, come stay as my guest. See how great Yudhishthir is? Can you imagine? All his life he's trying to kill him. Now, yes, be my guest. And they were serving Dhritarashtra like a king. That's even more. Not just he gave him a back room in the backyard somewhere or a hut. No. They gave him the royal treatment, right? So when Vidura came, Vidura was the younger brother. Vidura told Dhritarashtra on your face, look at you. Look at you. You're staying in the house of the people you tried to kill. And here's Bhima. Bhima, who can't stand you, right? And you're living like a household dog. Like a dog in their house. Get out now. Come on, get out. Because, Dhritarashtra, your death is coming very soon. And then Vidura told them, look, mucus coming out. Your liver is defective. Your teeth are loose. What does that mean? Death is knocking. Right? So finally, Dhritarashtra woke up. Thanks to Vidura's strong preaching. Yes, Vidura was also meek and humble, but when it comes time to preaching, strong. So Dhritarashtra listened, and him and Gandhari, they left without telling anybody. They just left. They went to the north, and Narada said that within 5 days, Dhritarashtra would give up his body, and then Gandhari would enter the flames like that. So Yudhishthir is a very good example of this. Just see how wonderful he is. Okay, let's finish. If one chants the holy name of Lord Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his or her dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet. So certainly, there's the key word. So meek, humble. So let's all memorize the verse. Let's go back. Let's chant it three times, okay? Go back to text number 21, okay? If you chant something every day, you'll memorize it. All right? Let's do it together, not responsibly, but together. Trinadapi sunichena tarar iva sahishnuna amanina manadena dania. Now all the men. Ladies. Very good. Now, everyone together. Trinada peace. Na. Amanina manadena. Excellent, excellent. So I hope you all memorize this verse because it is the essence of Krishna consciousness. You got this, you're going to be Krishna conscious. You'll be so Krishna conscious. But practice, not so easy. To implement it, to actually live it. That's why Lord Chaitanya said you have to wear it around your neck for constant remembrance, because it doesn't take much before you forget. You all know, driving on the 405 or the 5 or the 91. Hey, you! Right? Sometimes I feel like I had a gun. Oh, you cut me off? Boom! Human nature. But no, Lord Chaitanya is saying, always, 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 my friend. Yes. All right, let's see where we left off. Text number 27. As Lord Chaitanya spoke in this way, his humility increased, and he began praying to Krishna that he could discharge pure devotional service. So, why does Prabhupada say pure? Because there is also impure devotional service. If you study the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev in Canto 3, there are 81 kinds of impure devotional service. How do you get 81? How many modes of nature? Times 3 is? Times 9 is? 81. So that we're talking about impure. The three modes of nature mix, combined, permutate. So you get 81 different kinds of impure devotional service. In other words, your service, you're serving Krishna, but there's some ignorance. There's some passion and even some goodness. So there's 81 different kinds. That's not pure. Pure devotional service means there's no influence of the modes of material nature. I think it was last year or the year before, I gave a lecture here about the 81 different kinds of devotional service. Lord Kapila says, here is the symptoms of someone who does devotional service in the mode of ignorance. They do their service angrily. All right? They're always angry. Then there's people who do devotional service in the mode of passion. They want name and fame. All right? Then there's people who do devotional service in the mode of goodness, which is where you have to start. You cannot just immediately do pure devotional service unless you're self-realized soul from a previous birth. But generally, we start off either in ignorance, passion, and goodness. You're doing devotional service. Why? You want to become free from the material miseries. But that's good. That's good. As opposed to passion. Yes, I will donate $1 million, but I want my name on the temple. That's good. It's okay, but why is he doing it? My name. I want my name. And I'll do devotional service, but when I go to the temple, I'm yelling at everybody, and I think I'm better than everybody. Go away. And I have to stand in the front, and the doors are closed. Open the doors. I want to see Krishna now. Like that. You see people like that. In New Dwarka, it's like that. People come. I have come so long. Open those doors. I want to see Krishna. No, it doesn't work that way. Krishna is taking rest. Krishna is not going to disturb his schedule for you. But we see there's people like that. But pure devotional service means no personal desire, no intention. The service is there simply because I love Krishna. That's pure devotional service. All right. So here you see Lord Chaitanya is praying for it. Yes. You have to ask. You don't get anything unless you really ask for it. You have to want it. Okay. Continuing. Whenever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, its natural symptom is that the devotee does not think himself a devotee. Instead, he always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. Okay, now this is not some pretense. This is how the pure devotee actually feels. The pure devotee actually feels so meek and humble that he feels, no, these other devotees, they love Krishna. For instance, I'll tell you a story. Prabhupada had a servant who was, he was the first person to do Prabhupada's daily massage. What's his name? I can't remember. He's an Italian guy. Shruti Kirti. So he was the first one to become Prabhupada's. Prabhupada needed that as his age, as he got older, Prabhupada said that daily massage kept him going. So one day, as the devotee Shruti Kirti is giving Prabhupada a massage, he confides, because, you know, he would talk. Just like one time, I'll tell you another story. Anyway, so he's giving the massage and they're talking. So Shruti Kirti says, Prabhupada, you know, today the devotees were chanting and they were offering the flowers to you and singing. And I'm thinking, I don't love you as much as your disciples, and I don't love you. Prabhupada said, oh, you don't love me? Prabhupada said, do you like doing this massage? And the devotee said, yes, Prabhupada, I really like doing this massage. That's your love. Your love is your service, not some sentiment. You prove your love by your service. You loved your children. Why? You fed them, you clothed them, you worked, you put them through school, you had so much things, you rendered service. From the day that child was born, you were doing service, service, service. And when you become grandma and grandpa, it continues. It never goes away. So your service is your love. Not that, oh, I love you. No, your love is your service. That's how you demonstrate your love. Not the person. Even in the material world, so many boys are calling the girl, I love you. And she's saying, where's my ring? Show me. Don't tell me. Show me. Right? So by service is how you demonstrate your love to Krishna. Krishna wants to see your service. Not the person who stands up front. Look at me, Krishna. Haribol, Krishna. No, Krishna is looking who's doing all the service, not the person who necessarily stands up front. Krishna is looking at the person who, that's like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was not allowed in the Jagannath temple because he was Musliman. He was not allowed. But Lord Jagannath was seeing his service. So Jagannath was coming to see him every day. How? Lord Chaitanya, who is Jagannath? And Jagannath was personally bringing him Mahaprasad because of his service. Was that? Yes, go to Jagannath Puri. Even I got Jagannath Prasad. The Khichri, that's what to die for. The Khichri, and you ask Dwarkadish, Rubri, Jagannath Rubri. Too good. Jai. You are blessed by Jagannath. If you get Jagannath Prasad, you're blessed. Hari Bol. All right. Instead, he always thinks he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that persons who are actually very poor because they possess not even a drop of love of Godhead or pure devotional service falsely advertise themselves as great devotees, although they cannot at any time relish the transcendental bliss of devotional service. A class of so-called devotees, known as Prakrita Sahajiyas, sometimes display devotional symptoms to exhibit their good fortune. They are pretending, however, because these devotional features are only external. The Prakrita Sahajiyas exhibit these symptoms to advertise their so-called advancement in love of Krishna. But instead of praising the Prakrita Sahajiyas for their symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, pure devotees do not like to associate with them. It is not advisable to equate the Prakrita Sahajiyas with pure devotees. When one is actually advanced in ecstatic love of Krishna, he does not try to advertise himself. Very important sentence. Instead, he endeavors more and more to render service to the Lord. So these are the kind of devotees you should be looking for. The devotees who are always increasing their service to Krishna. You always should look for those devotees who are humble. Look for those devotees to associate. The ones that you always see them, they'll do so much service. Even when nobody else will do it, that devotee will come and do that service. You're looking to associate with those devotees who are very, very meek and humble. That's the association you're looking for. The Prakrita Sahajiyas sometimes criticize pure devotees by calling them philosophers, learned scholars, knowers of the truth, or minute observers, but not devotees. On the other hand, they depict themselves as the most advanced, transcendentally blissful devotees, deeply absorbed in devotional service, and mad to taste transcendental mellows. They also describe themselves as the most advanced devotees in spontaneous love, as knowers of transcendental mellows, as the topmost devotees in conjugal love of Krishna, and so on, not actually knowing the transcendental nature of love of God. They accept their material emotions to be indicative of advancement. In this way, they pollute the process of devotional service. To try to become writers of Vaishnava literature, they introduce their material conceptions of life into pure devotional service. Because of their material conceptions, they advertise themselves as knowers of transcendental mellows, but they do not understand the transcendental nature of devotional service. So we'll stop here and we'll continue next month. Let us chant a little bit. Thank you for attending. May Krishna bless you, protect you, maintain you. I was in communication with my Santiago secretary. Every day she Skypes me, so the earthquakes have subsided for now. But as I explained last night, as soon as they hear any little squeak, as soon as there's a slight little tumble. And by the way, there was an earthquake yesterday in Japan. She'll be coming around the corner when she... I mean, it's what? Earthquake season, right? Everybody's having an earthquake. So we better pray to Krishna. Do we want Krishna to spare us? Yes. Please, Krishna. All right. So let's pray. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bol. 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 Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bol, Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bol. Radha Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radha Ramana, Radha Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe, 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 Radhe Radhe. Radha Ramana Hari Bol, Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bol. My dear Lord Krishna, if I have committed any offenses, please forgive my offenses. My Lord, please bless all these devotees. Please remove all the obstacles in their lives so that their dormant love for your lotus feet is awakened. My Lord, please bless them. Protect each and every one of them. And my Lord, please, please spare us no earthquakes so that we can continue our classes. Because the temple in Santiago, the devotees and the deities had to leave because there was too much damage to the building. So my Lord, please, no earthquakes here in Southern California. We need our temples. We need to have our service. Is that all right? Radha Raman Bhagavan ki. Haribol. Thank you very much. Haribol.